Good morning. Last week we began the sugya of Paiskin al HaPeiros. To very briefly review some of the concepts, we've spent a few weeks talking about the halachos of ribus of derech mekach u'memka. If a person is prepaying for an item, and in exchange for the prepayment he's getting a discount, this is going to be aser. Now, the common shiloh today is early bird specials, people who are signing up for camps, and the camps are saying that if you pay a certain amount and register by a certain date, you'll get a discount. So this, al pi pashtus, should be aser. Now, as we learned, in a case where there's never a clear price for the item, it's ein shemasa yaduah, and you're not mafarish, in other words, if you sell something, the person agrees to prepay and pay whatever price it is, but it's not explicitly stated you're getting a discount for prepayment, then as long as it's not obvious, it's okay. He's paying for goods. He may be getting delivery later. The seller may internally be offering this price only because there's a prepayment. But if it's not obvious, there's no clear price for the item and it's not specifically linked, it would be mutter. However, in the case, very often this is not negeya, because very often when a seller is trying to convince the buyer to prepay, the only way to convince him is to say very specifically, if you prepay, I will give you a discount. These cases are generally usher. The two exceptions that we mentioned are in a case where there is an anansadi, the discount has nothing to do with prepayment, it's for other reasons, then it may be mutter. You know, specifically the Marsham, which we'll discuss a little bit more later, the Marsham says that if you're asked for a minimal deposit, and it's obvious to everyone this minimal deposit is just to lock the person in, it has nothing to do with the fact that the seller wants the money in advance. So in such a case where it's nikar and yadua lakol, that this has nothing to do with the discount, then it's mutter. However, if it's unclear, if it can go either way, al pi pashtus, it should be aser. One exception could be is when a person subscribes for a magazine or for a newspaper. So there you have an interesting case. There you get a very significant discount for signing up in advance. But when the publisher is giving the discount probably for a number of reasons. Number one, they want the money, but more importantly, they want the commitment, they want to be able to turn to their advertisers, and there are a number of reasons why they're offering the discount. Now, based on what we said until now, it should be aser. If there are two reasons, one of them might be hamtanas mois, then it should be a problem. However, in this case, since you are buying in bulk, you're making a commitment to buy 50 of them, so although everyone knows the price, how much a newspaper costs if you go to a grocery and buy the newspaper one at a time, buying in bulk has no shemasa yadua. There's no clear price. If you'd go over to the publisher and say, I want to buy 50 of them, I want to subscribe, but I'll pay at the end of the year, there's no clear price what that would cost. Since there's no clear price what it would cost, it's ain't shemasa yadua. And if a person subscribes, unless they specifically say that subscribers that prepay get one price, if you pay at the end you get a higher price, as long as they don't do that, since it's ain shemasa yadua, it's not clear that there's any discount in exchange for the prepayment, that would be mutter. Now this is all by moizel gabe, where you're getting a discount for prepayment. The sugya of ein poiskan al haperos was a much bigger chumra. And there we learned that if a person prepays, and in exchange for the prepayment, the seller simply locks in the price, not necessarily a discount. He says, if you pay today, I'm going to lock in the price, and if in the future it goes up, you still get the price, today's price. So that itself will be aser, even though there's no guarantee that the price will go up, and for all we know, the price may go down. Midrabanon, we look at the fact that I locked in the price in exchange for prepayment, the lock itself will be aser. And if the price does go up, then the buyer would have a chiyuv to pay the higher price. Taking advantage of that lock would be ribus. Now a common example is that a person sells goods, and he hears the manufacturer is about to increase the price. So very often he'll call his customers and say, if you order today and you pay up front, we can lock in the old price. Now this is a classic case of psiko. This is even worse. Here you know what's going on. Since in exchange for prepayment, he's getting the today's price and he's protected from future increases, that itself will be usur. Usually that's worse. Usually that's the first case of moisel, because they tell you that when it comes out it's going to be higher, we're going to give you a discount because you're paying in advance, and that will be usur. That makes it worse. Right. By Dvar Mitzvah, they say certain svaras by Dvar Mitzvah when there's a risk, but pashtus, that should be usur unless you can come up with other reasons or specific reasons in that case why it should be different. They have two benefits. They have the benefit that you're locked in. They also have the benefit that they have your cash. But but the bottom line is, if they're offering you a discount and you have to prepay, that should be usur. Now, what they could do is, and I've given this etzah to a number of camps, is they can make up that you have to pre-register in advance. You have to show that you're serious. So you have to take $300 and give it to us. If you want, we'll put it in an envelope. We'll put it aside. I won't use it until the first day of camp. Once they offer to do that, then they're making it very clear that this discount is not because you're giving them money because of a loan. The discount is because you've shown that you're serious. If they offer that option to you, they can also then ask you if you mind if they use the money. Once it's sitting around in your desk, the client probably won't care. But the point is, it has to be they're giving the same discount whether or not you're lending them the money. So that would be an easy way for the camp to get the commitment, get the pre-registration, and not run into this problem of ribbis. Correct. There are always other reasons as well. But usually the fact that they're getting the money up front and they can use the money is also one of their cheshbonos. So if you have both reasons, and there are clearly both reasons involved, I think it would be usur. In the case of subscription, you have an advantage that because you're buying it differently, you're buying in bulk, there is no clear price for that. I think that's a reason why a subscription should be mutter. They don't start the day that the camp opens, but on the other hand, a camp that's middle of the winter, the preparation that they're probably doing is for their convenience. To say it's a hiskel malacha where you're locked in because they went ahead and they bought some supplies, they started planning out color war breakout. It's hard to say that's enough of a hiskel malacha. What? Again, you're not when people are paying for camp, they're not paying for the maintenance that you did during the winter. They're paying you for the service you did during the summer. And whether you're going to use last year's campus or you're going to buy a new campus, it has nothing to do with what they're paying for today. They're not maintaining it on your behalf. That's not part of what you're paying for when you're going in the summer.
And if you get these books for free, very often people collect money in order they want to publish a book of their family, right?
So you'll have to deal with whether it's really for free or whether it's you're paying in advance. It may depend on if you're making a few $100 donation and they're they're sending you one copy of a book. You're probably right. It's not Mecha Chumemkar. Even if it was Mecha Chumemkar, there's no discount. You're overpaying for it. On the other hand, when you're paying less than its real value and you're getting a book, it's hard to argue as a donation where they happen to give you a book. It sounds more like you're buying it at a discount because it's not out yet. Now, in the case where the price is about to go up and you want to offer it to your customers, so here we spoke out last week, there's a heter of yeshlo, that if you have the item in stock, there's nothing wrong with offering to lock in the price for prepayment. And the reason is simple: you have it in stock, you're able to if you want to deliver it right away. So there's no ribbis going on. No one's gaining. If you want it, you can deliver it. The fact that it's more convenient for the seller to wait and he's not going to deliver it for a few weeks or months is not a problem, and therefore it would be mutter. So in such a case, if you're selling goods, the price is about to go up, as long as you have one of each thing in stock, you can go to customers and you can offer them the lock. One thing you have to be careful about is You can only offer, you can, if you have one item in stock, you can sell it or you can offer a lock-in to as many customers as you want. You can do it even though you only have one in stock, you can reuse it. What you can't do is lock in three of the same item to this customer. Because if you only have one, you can only then in each deal you can only lock in one. So you have to have keep in stock whatever the bulk, however many you're going to be selling in each particular deal.
That could seem like a fiction, if you will.
It is. It is a fiction. As the Poskim speak out, the Isser is the Chumra is Midrabanan. And they were makel, as long as you have it in it, and you could sell it, even though you're not actually selling it, v'harai, you're selling it again and again and again to different people, they were never goyzer in such a case, and it would be mutter. So there are two separate heterim. There's one heter of yeshloi, where you actually have it. There's a second heter of yotza hashar, which is if it's readily available on the open market at this price, then it's the equivalent of yeshloi. So what you'll need is, again, it's on the open market, and you can get it at this price, and it's a stable price. On the other hand, if it's something which is constantly going up and going down, and it's not readily available, then it would be usur. Now, in both of these cases, there is one important halacha to bear in mind, and that is, if you're selling something, you're locking in the price, and you're being seimich on the fact that you have one in stock, you have to disclose, the buyer also has to know you have one in stock. Otherwise, as far as the buyer is concerned, he's paying in advance, he's locking the price, it's ribbis. So halacha is, you have to tell him, you have to notify him that I have it in stock, and that's why it's okay for us to do this lock-in. If you don't notify him, the even b'di'evit is machlokas achroinim, there are mekilim, and if it's a drabanon, there's mokum l'hakol. But certainly lechadchila, when you're being seivich on this, if you're locking in the price, even if you have to disclose, you have to tell the buyer that you have one in stock. What?
The buyer was the malvah. Is that right?
In that case, the buyer is the malvah. Even if he was the loiva, so it would be still a question of lefneiver. You would still have to disclose it to him. So whenever you're locking it in, if it's yeshla, you have to let him know that it's yeshla. Now, the most common case of psika is when a person buys a house, he puts a deposit, he closes on it a few months later. If the price of the real estate rises between the contract and the closing, obviously the buyer still pays the same price. So essentially, by signing the contract, by putting down a deposit, he's protecting himself. There's a psika that he is locking in the price, and this should be awesome. When you're selling a house, a pre-existing house, that's motzer because it's yeshloi. Since the seller has the house, it's standing here, he could sell it right away. Even though the agreement is he's not going to close for a few weeks or a few months, it's yeshloi, it would be motzer. However, if you're buying a house on paper, where the seller just owns the property, but he does not have, the house is not built yet, he doesn't own it, this is a case of psika. And if you're locking in the price in exchange for a prepayment, this should be usur. Over here, there's another heter that will often apply, and that is, since we're dealing with karka, we're dealing with real estate does not have a clearly defined price. So over here, many places can say, since at the time of the closing, there will not be a clear price for this house, houses go up, houses go down, in and all the karkois. Therefore, there's no mechzi karibis, and it will be mutter. However, if you're dealing with a townhouse where there are 20, 30, 40 of the exact same thing, that would be a case where even though in Einanola Lekakois, there is a set value, and here it would be a much more serious problem. Of course, if the money is going into escrow, if the deposit is going to escrow, there's no hava, and it would certainly be mutter. The question only begins if you're paying the money, if you're releasing the money to the seller, there where that's considered a halva, and there you have this shaila.
How do you do it with heteriska?
You could write a heteriska. You could write a heteriska where the money that you're giving in advance is not a prepayment, it's an iska. The developer now invests on your behalf. And then at the end, when the house is up, he can either make a shvur, bring edim, or he can sell you the house at the agreed upon price. So you could write a heteriska. Lahiris Nelson actually has an example of a heteriska for these cases. And that's certainly what could be done. What could be done. Fine, but the 20 people are buying it from a developer. If the developer says, pay in advance and I'll lock in the price, then all 20 people have the same ribbestrayla. So you're just making 20 people have the problem instead of one. But the bottom line is, if the house doesn't exist yet, it still has to be built, and he's locking in a price, that would be a problem. Now this is a sugya of Paiskin. This is a sugya when you're buying something and you're locking in a price. The next sugya to deal with is a sugya of sabisa, which is not dealing with a sale, we're dealing with a loan, but is what we're going to see, many of the halachas are going to be similar. The case of sabisa is, a person borrows 10 pounds of apples. A year later, when it comes time to pay back, he wants to pay back 10 pounds of apples. What happens if the price of the apples dropped? When he borrowed it, the 10 pounds are worth $100. Now when he's paying it back, the 10 pounds would be worth $50. What's the halacha? What does he owe back? 10 pounds? Or can the lender say, no, you borrow the goods that are worth $100. I want $100 worth of goods back. So if today it's 20 pounds, that's what you owe me. So halacha is, when you're borrowing payros, when you're borrowing any item other than money, the halacha is, we look at the item. You borrow 10 pounds, you pay back 10 pounds. Doesn't matter whether the price went up or went down. You owe what you took. And we don't care. We don't look at the value. We look at the item itself. That's midaraisa. Midrabbanan chazal were goyzer. That if you borrow peros, if you borrow any item other than money, if the item increases in value and then you pay back the same item that you borrowed, you're giving back the same 10 pounds that you borrowed, since it's worth more now than it was at the time of the halva, that is asur midrabbanan, and this is known as sa b'sa. So even though you're paying back exactly what you took, since its value went up in between, this is going to be asur. Now the most common example, today people don't borrow goods that much. It's people when people borrowing things, it's usually money. But the most common example is between neighbors. Someone will need a few eggs, a cup of sugar, or something like that. They pay back a few days later the same thing. This sounds like saw b'sa. And if the value of the cost of the eggs went up in between, it sounds like it should be awesome. However, as we learned a few weeks ago when we went through Simkuf Samuch, there's a special kula that when you're dealing with neighbors, when you're dealing with a dover mu'at, small items that people are not makbid about, no neighbor cares whether the price of eggs went up a little bit, it went down a little bit. They just want the eggs back. They would just want the sugar back. So as long as you're dealing with a minimal loan between neighbors, here Chazal would never go there, and you don't have to worry about the price going up or the price going down. That's a different shayla, because there it's saw b'sasayim. There you're giving back more than you took. And that you should avoid. Here the question is, you're giving the same thing, but the price went up, or the price went up in between. There we say, between neighbors, this chumrah of sa b'sa, which is mitrabanon, they were never goyzer when it's a davar mu'at, and neighbors don't care about the price appreciation. If you're giving back extra, that's usually a problem. Okay, so that we discussed, keeping the change when it will cost you more, but in a normal case where you're just giving extra, you should avoid it.
Why is it totally in the whole point of it? I mean,
this is a machlokes in the Mishnah, but it's this the whole sabasa was midrabanan. Really midaraisa, you borrow the apples, you give back the apples, we shouldn't look at the value. This is a chumra midrabanan. Chazal were not goyzer between neighbors on something which people don't usually care about. It's a heim amru veheim amru. Normally ribbis is aser, even a shava prut is going to be aser. And there's no heter in hilchos ribbis to say it's a small amount, we don't care. But specifically when you're dealing with saw b'saw, you're giving back the same amount, and it's just a question that the market value changed a bit, there Chazal were not goyzer between neighbors where it's a davar mu'at.
Why is it?
It's not. It's midrabanon because you're giving back exactly what you took. You took 10 bushels, 10 pounds of apples, you're returning 10 pounds. What changed is the market, they happen to be worth more. But you're giving back exactly what you took. Midoraisa to have ribbis, you have to be giving extra. You borrow $100, you give back 110. But if it's you're giving back exactly what you took, just the market value change, that will be midrabanon.
Isn't there an aspect of ketzitza also by ribbis midoraisa that's required to have the iser? Let's say that
mm-hmm.
There's a shortage and the crop is not good or whatever. Still, it would be limited upon it to be over so because there's nothing season.
The reason why it's the rabbanon is because you're giving back the same, because we don't really, midoraisa, we don't look at the value. We look at exactly what you took. That's why it's irrelevant then whether it is going up, not going up. It's because there is nothing extra being paid back. You are correct, you need a ketzitza, but in theory, if we looked at value, not at the item, then that itself would be a ketzitza, saying I'm going to give you the same volume even though the value goes up. So that's why the point is just, what?
It wouldn't be
delineated. It's not delineated, but it's basically saying I'm going to give you back this saw even if the value goes up. I think that would be the equivalent of the ketzitza. But again, it's theoretical. Very good. Very good. So this halacha of saw b'saw is only by items. If you're borrowing money, if you borrow $100, and then there's deflation, and this $100 buys more today than it did at the time of the halva, that is clearly mutter l'kulayam. Because in halacha, and especially in Hilchos Ribbis, money doesn't change in value. If it does change in value, we assume everything else became more expensive, everything else became cheaper, we say money is static. Now, by definition, that's only true in a place where it is considered currency. You can have, in Eretz Yisrael, the shekel is the currency. So if a person borrows shekelim and he pays back a year later, even though the shekel went up, and because of that all the prices went down, since this transaction took place in Eretz Yisrael, that is not a problem. You borrowed 100,000 shekel, you're paying back 1,000 shekel, there's no problem whatsoever. That same transaction in America, if you're going to Eretz Yisrael, and your friend just came back from Eretz Yisrael, he has some shekelim, so he says, here, take 100 shekel, that way when you get to the airport, you'll be able to pay for the taxi in shekelim, and bring me back 100 shekelim. So in such a case, the loan is taking place in the United States. In the United States, are shekelim called currency? Absolutely not. There's nothing you can do with it. You're paying him back in the United States. So in that case, if during the course of your trip the shekel goes up or the shekel goes down, there we'd have a problem of saw b'saw. And obviously, it goes down, there's not a problem. But if it goes up in value, you'd only be allowed to pay him back 90 shekel. Now, so in Eretz Yisrael like this, in Eretz Yisrael, if you look at the svarim from 30, 40 years ago, there is a question: what's considered currency? And some poskim said that a dollar in Eretz Yisrael was considered currency because the big transactions took place in dollars. Today, that's not clearly not the case. Today, certainly the transactions take place in shekelim. They're usually priced in shekelim as well. The dollar hasn't been doing very well lately. So today, I don't think anyone will say that the dollar is considered a currency. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, they deal with this problem very often. Many of the gemachs, in order, because the shekelim, or back then the lira, was constantly dropping, so the gemas lent dollars, and you had to pay them back in dollars. Since in Eretz Yisrael, the dollar is not called a currency, so if the value of the dollar went up, or the value of the shekel, or the lira, the shekelim went down, you would have a problem of sub b'saw. So over here, by sub b'saw, there are two very interesting heterim. The first heter is yeshloi. If you just like by psika, if you have the item in stock, you can lock in the price. There's no problem. So if you're lending someone money and the or goods, and the borrower has the goods in stock, he can borrow against it. There's no problem with sub-b'saw. But over here, there's a tremendous kula. If you have $1, the halacha is you can borrow as many dollars as you want. There's no problem with sub-b'saw. Or if you're in America, if you want to borrow shekelim, if you have one shekel, you can borrow as many shekels as you want. Since you have even a davar mu'ud, again, it's a din d'rabbanon, as long as you have any amount of what you're borrowing, You can borrow what you want and pay it back. There's no problem with sub asa. Correct. The same person, same time. So what the gemachs in Eretz Yisrael used to do, if someone would come, he wanted to borrow $1,000 in Eretz Yisrael, they're giving him dollars. What they would do is, first they would give him $1 as a present. Now he has a dollar. If he has even $1, he can borrow $1,000 and commit to pay back $1,000. So that way, even though you only have $1, you're borrowing $1,000, since you have something, it's yeshloi, by sa b'sa, it's a kula, and it would be mutter. So that's the difference. By psika, when you're locking in a price and you're being sabach on the fact that you have it in stock, by psika, when you're locking in the price, the halacha is you have to have the amount that you're selling. And if you're selling one item, you have one is enough. If you're selling 10, you need 10. We pointed out, if you're selling 1 to 10 different people separately, that's fine. You only need is 1. But if you're selling 10 to one person, you need 10 in stock to lock the price. That's by psika. By sa b'sa, when you're borrowing apples and paying back apples, that's a different sugya. And here, as far as this halacha of yeshlo, we're more mako. And as long as you have $1, as long as you have one item of what you're borrowing, that would be fine. Now, the second heter that you have is yotze hashar, which is if a person is borrowing apples and paying back apples. So if the borrower has an apple, then it's fine. It's yeshlo. If he doesn't have any, the halacha is that if the item is readily available at a stable price that doesn't change, here also it would be mutter. The Rishonim are a bit bothered by what the svar over here is. It's a little bit more difficult to understand. But the bottom line is, if you borrow it, if it's yotze hashar, there's a clear and stable price, this would be fine. Now, when it comes to, you're dealing with currencies, you're borrowing shkolim, or you're borrowing dollars, there's obviously no clear or stable price for dollars or shkolim. That's something which is constantly changing by the minute. On the other hand, if you're borrowing goods which have a stable price that don't constantly change, whatever, you know, you're borrowing eggs or something like that, which is a pretty stable price. So there's no problem of sabasaw because it's readily available and it has a very stable price. No, it's a machlokes in the Gemara. We paskin that you need a shar shel ayoros, which is a small city where the supply wasn't that stable. So things would come in, but then when it ran out of stock, the price would increase. That is enough. And the Rishonim say that it lasts for a few days. That's enough to be considered a stable price. If it's changing every day, it's certainly not a stable price. Where to draw the line? You know, 2 days, 3 days. Is very unclear in the Paiskim. Now, with Sabisa as well, if you're being Seimich on the Heter of Yeshloi, that you have one in stock, you have to know about it. And therefore, if you're borrowing Shkolim from your neighbor when you're about to go to Eretz Yisrael, if you're relying on the Heter that you still have 5 Shkolim left from your last trip, you have to tell the person, I have it, I have the Shkolim, that's why it's Mutter. Now, the most common question that comes up, and this is really Tzarechi in Ladina. So there we mentioned before that if you're borrowing something there's a hedge when you're borrowing food from a neighbor. When you're borrowing other goods, you don't find this hedge. So if it goes down, that's fine. But if it goes up, you don't see the difference between a lot of money or a little money. It's a specific heter by a neighbor's, you know, by a kikur, these kind of things that go back and forth. If you pay him in dollars immediately, that's mutter. There's no halva. That's definitely the best way to deal with it is, instead of this loan where he's giving you the shkolim today, you're paying back the shkolim when you get back, if you right away give him money, then, you know, dollars, then that's nekohum amkai, and that's fine. So if you're paying, the Minchas Yitzchak says that if you're paying because you don't want to be a gazlan, and you're just paying whatever it takes because you don't want to pay too little, that's fine. On the other hand, if you know that the price that it went up, and you're paying it because you know, you're embarrassed or you he did you the favor, so you want to give him back what you took from him, that would be us.
You fix the price, you say, I'm buying it for you the value of whatever the dollars are now.
Today. Yeah, that's fine. Because as long as we set right now I owe you $5, I can pay it to you tomorrow, I can pay it to you in a month. But it's once it's a fixed price, there's no schar tanas mois, and that would be fine. He's talking about Hilchos Ribbis, and you have a case where his case was you borrowed money, and there are different scenarios, but they're not sure how much is owed back. So he wants to pay back enough to make sure he doesn't want to be a gazel. He says, that's not Ribbis. It's not Tzcharim Tanas Mois. That's being an Erel Chayyid and not wanting to shortchange the other person. So even if it comes out you paid extra, that's not Ribbis. Now, a common question, which I don't know what the answer is what happens if you have an international transaction? You borrow the scholem in America, and the lender says, listen, I'm coming to Eretz Yisrael next week, you'll pay me back then. Or you meet someone, a neighbor in Eretz Yisrael, you're short on cash, you say, can I borrow $1,000? I'll pay you back when we get back to America. So, in that case, you were both in Eretz Yisrael, you borrowed $1,000. That loan, was that money, was that currency, or was that Paris? It's Paris, because in Eretz Yisrael, the dollars are Paris. When you pay it back, you're paying it back in America. That already is currency. That's money. What? Give a shkolem. So what happens when you flip? When you start, it starts off as Paris and it ends up as Tiva, or the other way around. You borrow dollars in America, and you agree, you know, we'll both be in Eretz Yisrael for Sukkot, I'll pay you back dollars then. So in that case, it's Sarachi and Ladino. I saw the Chud HaShani actually assumes that you go by the place of the Halva. Bris Yehuda assumes the exact opposite. You go by the Shas Piron, and it's a bit Sarachi and Ladino. In Eretz Yisrael, yeah. So there he owes you back dollars because that's what he stole. If the price went up, in theory, it should be sabasa. However, you only find sabasa by a halva. By an iser gezo, you don't find an iser ribis. So in such a case, while you can't force him to pay you back, because halacha is kol gazlonim mishalim kashasa gzeila, but if on his own he voluntarily decides he doesn't want you to have a hefsid, he wants to be yotzi de shemayim, then there will be no iser for him to pay back the higher amount. Right, okay. You'd have to figure out whether it's Gazel, whether it's his check, someone else's check, but that's...
What if you buy a commodity? Let's say you bar shkolem 2 months ago, and now you're paying back that same gold that was worth the check over 2 months ago.
Okay, so that when you're swapping one thing for another, that might have a milo. That if you look at the first Taz in Kuf Samach Beis and the Chavis Das over there, swapping one for another might be Derech Mekach U'Memker. A halva, according to the Chavis Das, is when I borrow shekels, I pay back shekels. I'm giving back the same thing. That's a halva. Once I'm swapping one thing for another, that will very often be derech mekach u'memkar. It might be a question of psika, but at least in sabasa, you usually will not have that problem since you're not paying back the same thing. But no, so then it's a halva of sabasa, and then later on you're flipping it. So at that point of the flip, it's worth more. That flip itself is a problem. Oh, if originally, that's fine. Sabasa, as long as you're paying back the original value, it's fine. The problem is only when you pay back the increased value, or that's, but if once you're paying back the original value, it doesn't matter how you're paying it back, it'll always be okay. Now, an interesting shaila for the oilam to think about is a person rents a car. Now, you rent a car, you pay $50 a day for the car. Very often, you pick up the car, and it has a full tank of gas. Now, do you pay for the gas? So typically the arrangement is, they tell you, just bring back however much gas was in the car originally. Now, look, if you think about it, what's happening? You're renting the car. That's a schiros. That you're paying $50 for the use of the car. Besides for the schiros, there's a halva. They're lending you a tank of gas. You go ahead, you drive, you use up the gas. And they're telling you, just when you return the car, just fill up the tank, and then that'll be fine. L'chayra, this is a case of sabasa. You borrowed a tank of gas, You're paying back a tank of gas. And therefore, if the price of the gas went up in between, this should be, in a Mefurish case of Sabusa, and should be also. Yotzashar. So that really depends how stable the price is. In the olden days, where they change the price once every 2 weeks or so, it's Yotzashar and Bimutter. But today, where the prices are much less stable, I'm not so sure it's Yotzei Hashar. I mean, it seems to be these days, on my way 2 months, the price is one thing, on my way back, it's usually higher. So it's Yeshloi. So it depends. If you have another car, and your other car has gas in it, it's Yeshloi. But let's say you don't have a car. This car, it's his. You rented the car. Every time you borrow something, that's not Yeshloi. Yeshloi is when you have separately. What? What did you say? Every saw besaw, you're borrowing the apples. Once you borrow it, you have the apples. That's not enough. You need that before you borrowed it. When you came to him, you had an apple before. Whoa! Slow down. If you have a car, and the car is by the mechanic, then I agree with you, because that car has gas in it. So once you have some gas, if you go ahead and borrow another car, and you're borrowing a tank of gas, it's Yeshloi, because if you want, you could siphon it out from your car and put it back in this car. It's not going to happen, but it's Yeshloi. But if you don't have a car, your car was totaled, it's gone. So you're coming in, you're renting the car, they're lending you a tank of gas and telling you pay back a tank. It's not Yeshloi. What? What did he say? Oh, if he wants to give you a gallon as a present, and then he wants to do a subah, it's fine. But now, but he has to do that. Very good. It's true. If you're in Eretz Yisrael and you're the fact that you have a gallon in America would not be a heter. Correct. Because Yeshla, it has to be. So there, if you look in Kuf Samach Beis, it has to be something which is accessible to the Malva. Or at least the loiva can get it easily and send it to him. But if you have to travel a few thousand miles to pick up your gallon of gas, it's not going to help you. It has to be in the place where you're borrowing or where you're paying it back.
So if you just fill up a bottle of gas,
what?
Correct.
Correct. So we now have a new. But just don't get caught trying to take that on the airplane. What? I mean, they can get. It's probably a different division. Different franchise, yeah. What? It's Nimsa. That's actually a very big Shiloh. What happens if something is readily available but at an unstable price? So the pashtus of Shulchan Aruch is it's readily available is not enough. You need to tell what? If the next day it can change, it's probably not Yotzei Hashar according to most Paiskim. If the price does not change over a few days, over a week or so, then it'll be fine. What? Oh, no, you can give that. You can give back a little bit less. Okay, that could be. The truth is, there is another heter. It was really not on the Maram Kohen, it's in Siv Dalet. There is a halacha that if you rent a field to a sharecropper, the halacha is you can tell him, I'm going to give you a sow, I'm going to give you wheat, I'm going to give you seeds to plant, and then by the harvest, I get an extra sow. You'll pay me back. Now, what have I at sabasa? The value might go up, and that will be ribbis. So over there, again, this is a cool midrabbanan, and we look at it basically as if I'm not lending you a sow and taking back a sow like a loan. We're looking at it as if I'm giving you a sow in advance, and I'm charging you more to rent the field. So in such a case, even though that's not how it's not what was said, it's not the postures of how the transaction was structured, we are mako and we look at it as if part of the rental. So l'chayr, you can say in the case of our car rental as well, even though it's structured $50 for the car rental and whatever, and their separate deal is whatever gas you're taking, give back. You can be medamed to the case of an aris where we will look at it as if the person is renting you a car with gas, and your part of your rental fee is to pay $50 for the car plus a full tank of gas. Mm-hmm.
That's
Right.
You're doing
yourself a favor by returning it and filling it at free. Even in that case, that heter was not going to work very well, because when if well, it ain't a das toya, so I know you can get away with. The problem that you have is the other way around. If they charge you $10 for the gas, and they tell you you can sell it, that would be one thing. Over here, they're telling you, use the gas. We know gas is supposed to cost $4 a gallon. They're saying, take the gas today, pay me back next week when you return the car, and pay me $10. So over here, where they're being, where they're really lending you the gas, you should be paying right away. Instead, you're paying later. So there, where you're paying a premium for credit, you're back to a rivus problem. So you've shifted it. If you make it into a sale, you've just shifted it from being sub basa to being a case of mechatu memkar, where you're charging a premium for charging for credit. You don't pay it in advance. You're paying late. You're using the gas today. You're paying for it when you return the car. That means there's a haval going on, because you're getting the gas today. You're not paying for another week. They're lending. There's a haval. You're paying a premium. So you're back to a problem of ribbis. You've shifted sub to sa, it's a mechatu memkar.
Until you use it.
What?
They own the gas. They own the car. They're just letting you use the car.
Okay, but as you drive down the block, at that point you've used it, you should be paying for it. They're telling you, we'll wait until you can drive 3,000 miles, you can fill up the tank as many times as you want, we will wait until you return the car for payment. So now already there's you have a problem of charging a premium for late payment. So in that case, they're clearly telling you it's two prices. If you pay for it today, it's $2. If you pay later on, they're telling you you're paying extra because you're buying it on credit. So using svaras of why they're doing it or what their internal calculations in their corporate headquarters are is difficult. If the bottom line is the contract says, if you pay for the gas today, it's two. When you take out the car, it's $2. If you wait until you return it, it's $5. That itself is going to be ribbis.
So let's say when they come in as a quarter, you fill it up and you only go down to quarter, you never use in essence.
That's true. If you want to do that, you certainly avoid the halva. Again, it's not very convenient, but you're right. In such a case, there was never a halva, and that would be fine. As long as you leave, I'm not borrowing the gas. This half a tank is always, or quarter of a tank is always there. That's fine. But then again, if the tank is mostly full, you're going to be basically going from gas station to gas station. Migus are beautiful for kayach ataina, but in Hilchos Ribbis, the migu is not going to help you. Again, regardless, we have the heter of the aris because it's a rental, so I think it will be mutter regardless. Now, just to very quickly begin the next sugya, and that is, there's another common question that comes up with Hilchos Ribbis is Ribbis derech knas. And as a typical, normal case of ribbis is a person borrows $1,000, he's keeping it for a year, he'll pay back $1,100. So that's a clear case of ribbis tzutza, you're agreeing to pay a premium, pay interest to keep the loan. We've had cases of ribbis rabbanon where you're buying something on credit, you're paying a premium for this credit. What happens if you sell an item? He has to pay within 30 days. And you tell him if he doesn't pay within 30 days, there's a knas, there's a penalty that he's going to get hit with. Over here, in such a case, or truth is, even by a loan, if you lend someone money, interest-free, it's a gemach, pay me back within a year, no interest. If you don't pay back within the year, then there's a penalty, there's a knas, you have to pay an extra $100. So over here, the Rashba paskins, the midoraisa, both cases should be mutter. Since if you pay back at the right time, there's no interest. It's only if you breach the agreement, you delay payment, then you get hit with a penalty. The Rashba says that is mutter midoraisa. But it's a haram, we're afraid of a haramas ribbis. We're afraid people are going to start playing games. This will be a way to charge interest. And therefore the Rashba says midorabanan is going to be aser. However, the Rivash paskins, and this is how we follow in Shulchan Aruch, because it's only derabanan, it applies only by a halva. When you lend someone money and there's a late payment fee, that will be aser midrabanan. However, when you're dealing with a derech mekachu memkar, if a person is buying something or there's mekachu memkar involved, you're giving money, you're getting goods back, or the other way around, there we do not have any gzeru, and a one-time penalty is okay. And based on this, if a person owns has a tenant, he's leasing a property to, and he wants to say the rent is due by the 10th of the month. If you're late, there will be a penalty. The halacha is, since it's not a regular halva, it's mekach u'memkar, he's renting the property, a one-time penalty is mutar. Where you run into problems is if the landlord wants to write that for every 30 days the payment is late, there's a 1.5% per month fee. Where it's a recurring fee, where every month you're late, it keeps on here again and again and again, there you run into problems. And I guess next week we'll discuss in more detail when it's deraisa, when it's rabbanan, and what the etza is.